Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why shut, won't you talk, see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Welcome to this edition of Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. Oh, we're having so much fun here, and so much is going on. Today, we have a very special guest whom you will hear from right after the first commercial break. His name is Yoram Ettinger, and he is going to be with us all the way from Israel. And he'll be talking about not only the latest story of Saudi Arabia apparently being attacked by a drone by Iran, their oil fields. So he has some comments about that. But also he's coming to the Denver area on Sunday, October 10th. October 27th, 2019. Usually they say 10/27. So it's October 27th, 2019. We'll tell you how to get tickets to that event. And you can see and hear him in person, but you'll get a chance to hear him right here on Spouting Off. So in this first segment, there's an awful lot I have to spout off about. And I only have, 10, 15 minutes to do so. Among the many things that has been animating me is the left's lies that never, ever die. They just keep resurrecting the same lies. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and it's coming up the anniversary of the travesty that was the Kavanaugh hearings just about a year ago. And by the way, I want to mention, I just have to stop right here and mention that today, September 17th, when this is going to be airing for the very first time, unless you're listening on a podcast, September 17th is Liberty Day. And we celebrate liberty and the signing of the Constitution, the anniversary of the signing of the Constitution, September 7th, 1787. I have up here Ronald Reagan, who said, "Ours was the first revolution in the history of mankind that truly reversed the course of government, and with three little words, we the people. We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us." That's a quote from Ronald Reagan, and we're in a revolution right now, a cultural revolution, as to which way we're going to go in this country. Are we going to let this growing and virulent brand of socialism tell us what we will and will not do, tell us how to live, what to think, what to believe, what we're allowed to have or not? And here we have a president who gets it, who understands that he represents us. He works for us, and he didn't have to. Getting back to the left's lies, it all comes full circle, doesn't it? Is what do you say about people on the left who are willing to lie and lie and lie, and then they want you to trust them to identify, for example, who can and cannot have guns? So these folks spun an outrageous and framing narrative of Brett Kavanaugh just about a year ago. And what happens? The New York Times resurrects, and you got to hear, a Jewish girl mentioning the term resurrect. They resurrect the lie, never having acknowledged that it was a lie. And why are they doing this? Okay, so the New York Times resurrected that some book is coming out resurrecting a lie that Brett Kavanaugh is indeed a sexual assaulter and sexual harasser. Never mind that every single one of those stories that were pounded at him to get him to stop, to get him to walk away, to slink away from his nomination to the Supreme Court, And he hasn't even been all that conservative in the past year. But it doesn't matter. This was all about abortion. If you want to read a good book, I've interviewed her. Read Molly Hemingway's book she co-wrote about the insider view of what happened in the Kavanaugh hearings and the money and the organization that was spent even before they knew who the candidate was going to be. The position of any conservative in that place is what animated the left to go after that person with as much fervor and lies as possible. I don't need to relitigate that because you lived it, I lived it, we watched it, and it wasn't a winner for the left. That being said, why are they doubling down now? Well, maybe they're anticipating the mother of all battles when Ruth Bader Ginsburg is no longer a justice to the Supreme Court. They're going to have to replace her, and maybe they're hoping to flip that seat for insurance when the other one flops. That's what I said on Facebook. I think that frighteningly and disturbingly, they're going to be loaded for bear, if it's possible, even worse for the next nominee, if Donald Trump hopefully gets to make it, as they did for Brett Kavanaugh. It has been completely politicized. And I think there's another reason that they decided to bring this up now. Sometimes they like to spike the football. Sometimes they, in anticipating a bringing up of the same old story of the embarrassment of inciting people from all walks of life to run over to the Capitol to scream and slam on the doors of the Supreme Court and to falsely accuse a good and decent man with no evidence that he was some kind of a rapist. And even the journalists and the people at MSNBC, CNBC, CNN and all the rest to blatantly call him a rapist, call him a gang rapist, call him a sexual assaulter and all the rest with no sense of personal responsibility or even compassion to what they were doing to his family. I think the left is trying to spike the football, to continue to give reasons for the uneducated left to be able to point to these talking points. They're play acting for people who don't really ask questions, who don't really investigate the news headlines, and they regurgitate what they hear. If they've heard it on CNN that Kavanaugh is, God forbid, and he's not, there's no evidence of it. In fact, the evidence that was hurled in his direction proved that they didn't have anything. If they had something, I think they would have used it. So to irresponsibly incite the left on trying to claim and falsely accuse a man who is nominated to the highest court in the land and now sits on that Supreme Court is as irresponsible and low as almost anything I've seen. If I hadn't been watching politics for such a darn long time lately, and they just keep sinking lower and lower. So I encourage you to watch what happens on the yearly, on the anniversary, I don't know the exact date, that Kavanaugh was confirmed on the Supreme Court, and listen to how the left spins it. They spin and spin and spin. And it was funny because Tucker Carlson said recently he wanted to know why they didn't apologize. I want to know, do they ever apologize about any lie they've ever told? And yet they are asking to be put in charge of, as I say, for example, who can and cannot have guns? Who's mentally well enough to have guns when clearly they have been acting mentally ill since Donald Trump was elected. Those are my thoughts. I'm spouting off here on Spouting Off. When we return, we're going to have such a special guest, Yoram Ettinger, who will be in the Denver area Sunday, October 27th, to speak about two-way street, how U.S.-Israel cooperation benefits both countries. We'll tell you how to get tickets, and you'll hear from Yoram Ettinger on Spouting Off right after this. This is Karen Cataline. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970-515-6882 for Anita McAllister. And welcome back to Spouting Off. This is your host, Karen Cataline, and I am delighted to have with us all the way from Israel, the ambassador, a retired ambassador, highly accomplished diplomat, researcher, writer, lecturer, and consultant on Middle East politics, overseas investments, and a host more. His name is Yoram Ettinger. And one of the reasons why I was, number one, delighted that he agreed to come on, is that he will be visiting the Denver, Colorado area on October 27th. So if you are in that area, October 27th, 2019, there is a very important event in which Yoram Ettinger will be the main keynote speaker. And he will be speaking on a two-way street, how U.S.-Israel cooperation benefits both countries. Thank you, Yoram Ettinger, for joining us here on Spouting Off.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yes, it's so funny because when I was searching for your name in all of my emails, I realized that I've been corresponding with you very briefly all the way since 2004. And wow. I've asked you questions, and I believe I probably heard you speak in person because you are kind enough to come to the United States to be that link and educate America. There has never been a time in which Israeli Middle East politics hasn't been intense, hasn't been relevant to the politics of the rest of the world. But what do you suppose is going on right now? We're taping this on September 17th, Liberty Day, by the way, in America. We've got drones that attacked Saudi Arabia, and it is thought that it's Iran. Why don't you help us unpack some of this and what's going on in the Middle East with all of your expertise, and help us in America figure out what the heck's going on here?
Well, the recent Iranian bombing of Saudi oil facilities reflects Middle East reality. And Middle East reality has been pretty systematic since at least the 7th century, namely the appearance of Islam. Sadly, Middle East reality is misrepresented in the so-called elite media, which attempts to oversimplify the Middle East in order to advance solutions, peace, etc. And if you take, for instance, the recent bombing of those oil facilities in Saudi Arabia, and you put it in context of what is superficially called the Arab Spring, which erupted in 2010 has been in reality Arab tsunami. But the Western media and too many Western policymakers, in their attempt to produce peaceful solutions to avoid war-like atmosphere, they have decided that the tectonic eruptions in Northwest Africa, Mauritania and Morocco, in Algeria, the civil war in Libya, the change of regime in Egypt, accompanied by civil war in Egypt, the ongoing civil wars in Syria and Iraq, the ongoing civil war in Yemen, the resurgence of the Ayatollahs of Iran as a major power, which attempts to topple every single pro-American Arab regime in the Persian Gulf in particular, in the Middle East in general. And if you add to that the Islamic Sunni terrorism, unlike the Iranians, Shiite terrorism, and if you put it in context of Islamic terrorism, not only in the Middle East, but in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, in fact, some bases in Latin, in South America, then you get the real Middle East. And that real Middle East sheds light on the advisability and the benefits of U.S.-Israel cooperation, because Israel is situated in this junction between Europe, the Mediterranean, Middle East, Asia, Africa. This is the area of those tectonic eruptions, and there is no country but Israel upon which the U.S. can rely, not only militarily, but also based on shared values. The value of Israel becomes even much more significant for the U.S. when you follow the sad, the destructive growing vacillation of Europe, which has in recent years adopted the policy of appeasement towards Islamic terrorism in general, towards Iran's Ayatollahs in particular, and that sheds pretty doubtful light on the capabilities of the NATO alliance. And once again, it's Israel which has extended the strategic hand of the U.S. It's Israel which has provided the U.S. with more intelligence than all NATO countries combined. It's Israel which shares with the U.S. many battle tactics and much intelligence on combating terrorism and many other areas, which yields the U.S. much benefits. And the major reason for that, sadly, is the nature of the Middle East, which has been with us, as I said before, for the last 14 centuries. And as much as we hope, and we should hope, for positive changes, we should never, never allow ourselves to subordinate a sense of reality to wishful thinking. This is a self-destruct mental process which could breed much disaster to the U.S., to the West as a whole. And I think when you look at Western democracies today, it's U.S. and Israel, which probably are the sole countries of realism.
Well, thank you very much. You've given me so much to ask you about. It's clear that the subject that you're coming to the Denver, Colorado area to discuss, the topic, a two-way street, how U.S.-Israel cooperation benefits both countries is something that not only Americans need to hear, but we need to hear it from someone who has the depth of understanding that you do. Let me ask you a little bit of a short answer questions, because you're such a great resource. Right now, they're always predicting that Benjamin Netanyahu is in trouble. Will he survive in Israel? Because we know that Bibi and Trump seem to have a special relationship, one that really seems to help both countries. What can you tell us about that?
Well, first of all, I have to confess that I don't consider myself an expert on Israeli politics. Secondly, election results probably will not be with us until tomorrow, although election is over in 2 hours or so, but it will take a long time before we know the final outcome of the election. And then there will be more time required to establish a coalition government. However, whether it is Netanyahu or General Gantz, who will be the next prime ministers of Israel, the Middle East shall remain the same Middle East. And the challenges facing the U.S. and Israel are going to be the same challenges and the same threats. And when it comes to Netanyahu's special relations with Trump, which should not be underestimated, we should remember that U.S.-Israel relations are not there in order to satisfy personal relations between leaders. The mutual relations reflect American interests mostly, as well as Israeli interests.
I agree.
And the best example is the former President Obama. To put it mildly, he was not an ally of Israel. However, in spite of his somewhat negative attitude towards Israel, the strategic cooperation between Israel and the U.S. was dramatically expanded during the Obama administration, sometimes in spite of President Obama and because of the power of Congress, which in a way forced the president to add more and more layers beneficial to the U.S., to U.S.-Israel relations. Now, there's no doubt that so far President Trump has been, I would say, the closest president ever to the state of Israel, but I am certain that the President Trump, did not recognize Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights because of his pro-Israel sentiments. He realized that Israel on the Golan Heights constrains the maneuverability of Russia, of Iran in Syria, and that's good for America. Israel off the Golan Heights would not be able to render the U.S. such a very valuable service. He knows that Israel on the Golan Heights secures the Hashemite regime in Jordan, because the Golan Heights is basically on the trilateral border of Israel, Syria, and Jordan. And the same thing applies to recognizing Jerusalem. Obviously, it's good for Israel. It's good for the Jewish people. However, it's very, very important for America, because what President Trump did about a year ago when he recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital and relocated the embassy to Jerusalem sent a message to Arabs and Muslim entities. Gone are the days where American presidents were deterred by Arab and Muslim pressure and threats. Today, the U.S. recognizes reality, and reality tells us that it's Jerusalem, which is the capital of Israel. And it seems to me that projecting defiance of threats, defiance of pressure, bodes very well for America. And therefore, whether it's going to be Prime Minister Netanyahu or Prime Minister Gantz, I venture to suggest U.S.-Israel cooperation will be sustained primarily because it bodes well for America's military and commercial interests.
Okay. Well, thank you, Yoram. We need to take a break, and you gave me a lot to work with here. When we come back, I want to talk about, well, a little bit from America's perspective, since that's where I live and most of our listeners live. I think I would take a little bit, dare to take a little issue with whether Obama was somewhat negative towards Israel. I would say he was the most anti-Israel president we've ever had, and it did affect Israel-American relations quite a bit. But let's take a break right now, and when we come back, we'll talk about that. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
Thank you. We are speaking with Yoram Ettinger. If you would like to get a hold of him or visit his website, we'll be talking about that when we get back. Let me see if I can find that here. Hold on. Well, we will talk about it when we get back, and we'll make sure that you know how to get a hold of him and also how to get tickets for the Southeast Center for Judaism. Aish Denver is hosting Yoram Ettinger on Sunday, October 27th, 2019, hors d'oeuvres 6:30 to 7:30, 7:30 to 9 is the keynote lecture, and it's only $15. You can get tickets at aishdenver.com/Ettinger. That's Ettinger. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with our guests. Stay tuned. This is Karen Cataline. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970-515-6882 for Anita McAllister.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
We are back with our special guest all the way from Israel, Yoram Ettinger. That's Y-O-R-A-M as in Mary Ettinger. And you can reach him and his website at www.theettingerreport.com. That's the, T-H-E, and then his last name, Ettinger, E-T-T-I-N-G-E-R, report.com. And you can see him in person if you happen to be in the Denver or the Colorado area on Sunday, October 27th at the Southeast Center for Judaism, Aish Denver. And you can get tickets at aishdenver.com/Ettinger, a special visit. When we took our break, we were talking about not only Barack Obama's relationship with Israel, and I beg to differ with our guest just a little to say somewhat is he's being extremely kind, given that he sent boatloads of money to Iran to help them get nuclear weapons, and Iran has said that they want to wipe Israel off the face of the map, and they're certainly no friend of America's either. But what I wanted to talk with you about, Yoram, is the growing... So while you make this very important point about how important it is, the relationship with Israel to America for America's sake, a lot of people think, you know, America's doing Israel a favor, but it is in America's best interest, as I think what you were saying, to be a friend of Israel, because it is, of course, the only democracy in the Middle East. What I'm concerned about greatly as an American Jewish person is the growing anti-Semitism on the left and the overt hatred of Israel coming from the left, not only from people like Ilhan Omar and Ocasio-Cortez and all the rest, but the left being less hidden and secret about their the BDSM movement and all of that. Can you speak a little to that and what American lovers of Israel, Jewish and Christian, need to be doing about it?
Well, first of all, I'm aware of certain voices coming out of the House of Representatives on Capitol Hill in Washington. I'm aware of a few senators who have expressed antagonism towards Israel, but I would not blow it out of proportion. And the best evidence is a month and a half or 2 months ago, a vote took place at the House of Representatives in Washington over the BDS movement, the boycott, divestment, sanctions against Israel. And the resolution was put to a vote opposing BDS. 397 House representatives out of 435 supported the resolution opposing BDS. Only 17 out of the 435 opposed that resolution. And I think this is a reflection of the wide base of support for Israel, which goes back again to the realization that not only are we the only democracy, but equally, and maybe sometime more important, we do render the U.S. significant benefits. On top of that, every time members of the House get together, at the chamber of the House, they see around the chamber 23 statues of the 23 leading lawgivers in human history. And guess what? In the middle, Moses. Not only is he in the middle, but he is facing the speaker, and Moses' statue is the only one looking straight. The rest of the 22 statues are in profile. First time I saw that, I asked the curator of the Capitol building, why is this bust different than all other busts? And his response was interesting. He asked me, aren't you Jewish from Israel? Don't you know that Moses is the source of human morality and human statues, and all the rest are the derivatives? Therefore, he is the center. Now, this is a reflection of much affection towards what one calls Judeo-Christian values, and that goes back to Israel. And I firmly believe that support for U.S.-Israel relations is way, way beyond the Beltway in Washington, way, way beyond politicians. It has to do with the real America, with the flyover portions of America, with a common person on the street who still shares much appreciation for Judeo-Christian values and therefore much appreciation of the Jewish state.
Yes, and I love that you mentioned that, because taped on my wall, Ambassador Ettinger, is something that I put up there to always remind me, and it's quoted from Benjamin Netanyahu's speech to a joint session of Congress on March 3rd, 2015. And dare I quote, he said, "Facing me right up there in the gallery, overlooking all of us in this chamber, is the image of Moses. Moses led our people from slavery to the gates of the promised land. And before the people of Israel entered the land of Israel, Moses gave us a message that has steeled our resolve," gives me chills on the back of my neck. "For thousands of years, I leave with you with this message," and he spoke it in Hebrew, and then he said it in English, "Be strong and resolute. Neither fear nor dread them," from Deuteronomy 31:6. Or exactly, "Be strong and courageous, neither fear nor be dismayed of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will neither fail you nor forsake you." One of the things I wanted to maybe tie in here is that there is a secular, shall we say, defense of the existence of Israel. No other country has had to defend its existence. And there is a religious one. And you could do either one. You're going to an Orthodox synagogue on October 27th. How do you combine those two, or do you?
I'm certain, studying the history of the U.S., I did my graduate in the U.S., and I took 2 years of American history, one cannot miss the fact that the early pilgrims and the founding fathers relied heavily on the Bible in general and the five books of Moses in particular, serving 3 years at the Israeli embassy in charge of our relations with Congress. I encountered the immense appreciation for Judeo-Christian values on Capitol Hill. And by the way, not only from evangelical representatives and senators, but even from liberal Democratic senators. For instance, Tom Harkin from Iowa, Senator Tom Harkin, who retired, I believe, in 2014 or 2016, he was one of the veteran and most influential Democratic senators. I would say he was one of the top three liberal Democrats in the Senate. But when he spoke at the press conference after the passage of the Obamacare, the first sentence was, "I would like to congratulate the Democratic leader, Senator Harry Reid," he said, "for displaying the patience of Job, the wisdom of Solomon, and the courage of Samson." Now, this was not evangelical. This was a most liberal Democrat. But he knew if he refers to Job and Solomon and Samson, most Americans would know exactly what he has in mind. I don't know if you can see through Skype, but behind me, on the wall of my office here, there is a photograph of a monument from the Texas State Capitol. And on the ground of the Texas State Capitol, there is a monument of the two tablets and the Ten Commandments, which, by the way, went through a series of appeals all the way to the Supreme Court. And in 2005, the U.S. Supreme Court decided that that monument on the ground of the state capitol in Austin, Texas, does not violate separation of state and church. I'll share with you a secret. We still don't have such a monument next to the Israeli legislature, the Knesset, but we do have it in Texas. We have it in Oklahoma. We have it in Arkansas. And that, again, is a testimony to the very deep sentiments binding together the U.S. and American and Israeli peoples. And when you, and that's the foundation. On top of these foundations, there has been in recent years a very, very unique strategic saga of cooperation between the U.S., by far the senior partner, and Israel, the junior partner. But it's a saga which has spared the U.S. many, many billions of dollars, spared the U.S. many losses of life, has provided the U.S. defense industry with many, many modifications derived from the Israeli battle experience, which increased American exports, expanded the base of American employment. And the bottom line is that while conventional wisdom is that Israel is a recipient of American foreign aid, in reality, Israel does not receive foreign aid from the U.S. The U.S. invests in Israel. And the only question is, does the U.S. get any rate of return on that investment? And what I will talk about on the 27th of October in Denver will be elaboration of the few 100% annual rate of return on the U.S. investment in Israel. The U.S. does not get such a high rate of return from any other investment, not commercial and not military, but it gets it from its number one ally, Israel, because they know when it comes to rainy day, you can always rely on Israel to be there.
Well, and thank you very much. We're running out of time. We only have about 2 or 3 minutes left. And in that time, I want to give you one more chance, you know, for everybody to find out where they can get tickets to hear you in person, to see and hear you in person. But also in a kind of a shorter answer, if you could tell us, for those Christian American Christians and American Jews who unabashedly support Israel in the face of this anti-Israel fervor on the far left, and I agree with you. I think that it shouldn't be blown out of proportion. What can those people do? Is there anything you can ask rather briefly of us in America, not just American Jews, but American Christians who stand by Israel, what we need to do to continue to show our support?
I know it from my own experience, firsthand experience. I served 3 years in Washington dealing with the U.S. Congress. I have kept in touch for the last 30 years with the U.S. Congress. American legislators appreciate very much hearing from constituents, and no constituent should underestimate his or her own impact on the House representative or senator. And as I was told in Texas when I went to school there, and I served later on as Israeli consul general in Houston, Texas, there I learned that sometimes even a blade of a grass can deflect a cannonball. And constituents are certainly more significant than blades of grass. And therefore, you have certain facts, share it with your senator, share it with your with a member of the House, and even more importantly, share it with the relevant staffer. Staffers are very, very influential on Capitol Hill, and every legislator has a staffer in charge of foreign relations and a staffer in charge of national security, and they would appreciate hearing from you and other constituents about your facts on U.S.-Israel relations.
Well, thank you very much, Yoram Ettinger. We are so honored that you made the time to speak with us all the way from Israel. If you would like to get tickets to see Yoram Ettinger, former ambassador and diplomat, researcher, writer, lecturer. You can go to aishdenver.com/Ettinger. That's A-I-S-H, Denver, denver.com/Ettinger, E-T-T-I-N-G-E-R. It's only $15, and you'll get hors d'oeuvres and a keynote lecture on a two-way street, how U.S.-Israel cooperation benefits both countries. And if you'd like to connect with Yoram, I have his website up here, right in front of me here, www.theettingerreport.com. That's T-H-E-E-T-T-I-N-G-E-R report, R-E-P-O-R-T.com. Thank you so much, Yoram Ettinger, for joining us here on Spouting Off. We hope to have you again soon, and safe travels to the United States of America.
Thank you very much. My pleasure and my honor.
Godspeed. Thank you so much for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Are you self-employed and unable to afford health insurance? There is a solution for you. My name is Anita McAllister. I'm a licensed agent, and I work with health shares, which are typically 35 to 50% less expensive than traditional health insurance. Give me a call at 970-515-6882 to learn if these options are right for you and your family.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Thanks once again to Yoram Ettinger for joining us all the way from Israel. And on this day, September 17th, at least the first time this show is being taped, and you can listen to it anytime on my website. As soon as we get it up, you'll be able to pull it up there and maybe send it out to your friends and family. You can pull it up at www.karencataline.com. We always have a full archive of the Spouting Off episodes, as well as my latest blog post and op-eds. Occasionally, whenever I have a mood, I write an op-ed about something that I'm dying to spout off about. But on this anniversary of September 17th, it's important to remember that this is indeed Liberty Day, and this is the day that the Constitution was signed, September 17th, 1787. That's pretty important stuff. And the people and the patriots who stand for liberty, who will not go quietly into that good night because they want to leave a great and wonderful free country of the United States of America to their children and grandchildren. These are very extraordinary times in which we're living. I don't think that my father, may he rest in peace, ever could have imagined that we had overt socialists trying to frame good and law-abiding citizens and trying to basically frame America as a terrorist, God forbid, slave-owning, a racist terrorist country. I mean, only the luxury of young, not always so young, Americans who have too much time on their hands and don't know history have the luxury of painting their own country in such an ugly and evil light. It is a time in which we have to stand up and educate those who we can educate about the joys and blessings of freedom. And I'm really not trying to pontificate in any way that isn't isn't what we know to be true. Free markets produce prosperity. Free speech produces freedom of thought and independence and personal responsibility. It all goes together. So anyway, that is about all the time we have this week. It is such a blessing and an opportunity and an honor to be able to host this show, Spouting Off. Thanks to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. Thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.